Today's learning Shirley Nishwas with Chaim Elusim Shemshaya Yemesha and the Neil Ripke Bas Mesha Israel. We are Schus for Shalom Chaim Mesha and Malcolm and Brach Masar Malka and for Malch Yitzchak Ben Fagel Dina. We are Schus for all those in and around Eretz Yisrael. So we're holding Simon Reish Yud Beis and we are almost finished with the Sif. Let's finish up and then we're going to try to do a quick recap of the rules of Iker and Tafel as best as we can. So says the Mechaber Sif Beis, Mekachas Shemanichin Rikikin Dakim, that they Al Rikikin Dakim. You have this kind of cooked product, cooked dish, that you would place on these thin crackers. Seemingly, those thin crackers were very unflavorful. They didn't have much of a flavor. Oysa Rikikim have a Tveilul Mekachas. They're a Tuffel to Mekachas. Shadav Yedua She'ein Meschavin Lecha Lachem. Now, you have no interest in really eating the bread. It's simply there to hold the food. Let's see the Mishavur on this. You only make a bracha on the cooked the dish that's on it. Lecha lechem. They're simply made that you shouldn't get sticky honey on your fingers, so you put the food on it. But in their cities, then that seems to be the same thing by us. The cracker or the baked item has a good flavor and they're adding flavor. You're having in mind to eat those as well, and therefore you have to make a bracha on those as well. We spoke about all these things and we said that it depends. If it was cooked together, if it was cooked separately, if it was cooked together, then it might be one bracha. If it was cooked separately, it would be two brachas. But in our case, where you're having these, whether it's these small puff pies that you put the cooked item in it, or different kind of baked goods that you put this item in, it's clearly not there just for holding it together. It's clearly there for flavor, and therefore you have to make a bracha on them as well. And you can't say that they are a tuffel to the food. But I just made myself some notes over here, and just to do a little bit of a recap of what we learned during this. This is pretty much from the Piskei Tshuvos, which he goes through and he breaks it down very nicely. And we'll try to get some idea and maybe talk about some specific cases. So the starting point is that he tells us that there's really four scenarios of Iker and Tuffel, okay? There's one scenario, scenario number one, the most obvious scenario. You have an Iker and a Tuffel, where the Tuffel is totally coming only to an either enhance the flavor or the appearance of the Iker. There's no question about it that it's a Tuffel. In that case, you would not go ahead and eat this Tuffel if you are not eating the Iker. The only reason you're eating the Iker is because of the Tuffel. That's case scenario number one, okay? Scenario number two, you have an Iker and a Tuffel, is where the Iker is the food that you're eating, and the Tuffel is only coming to temper either the bitterness or the spiciness or the sweetness of the Iker. You're only trying to temper it down. That was like the case we had where someone had just eaten something very sweet, and now he's eating a very salty item, and he doesn't want it to hurt his throat, so he's eating something to bring that in there. So that is scenario number two. Scenario number three is where the Tuffel, you're only using it, and that was similar to the case that we just learned in the last in Sif Beis, is where the whole item is only coming to hold the food, right? So it doesn't add any flavor at all. It's simply there that you shouldn't get your hands dirty, okay? That's the first three of the four scenarios. Now, the common denominator of those first three scenarios, which really makes the halacha easy as to what's the Iker and what's the Tuffel, the common denominator in that scenario is that without the Iker, you never would be eating the Tuffel. So the Tuffel is only going into your mouth and only getting consumed by you because of the Iker. That's the common denominator of the first three. The last scenario of Iker and Tuffel is where you have basically two Ikarim. They're both, in other words, you would eat each one individually, but you mix them together. They're a real mixture. Now, since they're a real mixture, you have two Ikarim, and there we said you go whichever one is the Rav becomes the Iker. So they're really both Ikarim, but you go whichever is the Rav becomes the Iker. Those are the four basic scenarios of Iker and Tuffel. So then he says there's essentially, and this is going to be a real recap of everything that we did this week. He says essentially there's 9 rules that you have when you that you have when it comes to Iker and Tuffel. Rule number 1, which was all the way in the beginning, right, is that when you have an Iker and a Tuffel, you make the, when it's clearly an Iker and Tuffel, you make the bracha on the Iker and you pater the Tuffel. Doesn't make a difference if the Tuffel is chavav on you, if you like it better. Doesn't make a difference if you would sometimes eat the Tuffel on its own. You have an Iker and a Tuffel, you make the bracha on the Iker, and that paters the Tuffel. That was the opening line of the Mechaber. That is the number 1 rule in Iker and Tuffel. Okay, now, then we had some exceptions. The first exception we brought down is that this rule number 1 does not apply if the Tuffel is a from Chameshes Min HaDagan. So if you have Mezoinus mixed into it, and the Mezoinus is there to enhance flavor of the dish, it's not there simply to bind it together, it's not there simply to hold it, it's not there simply to thicken up the liquid, then the Mezoinus always becomes the Iker, even if the Mezoinus is a miyot. So although we said that Tuffel and Iker, you always make the bracha on the Iker, but the exception to the rule is when it's Chameshes Min HaDagan, becomes the Iker, right? Now, rule number 3 is that the Tuffel does not get a bracha because it's pattered by the Iker, even if you're going to eat some of the Tuffel on its own. So in other words, you have a dish that you have a clear Iker and a Tuffel, but at the end of your eating of your dish, right, you are going to have some leftover of the Tuffel, you would still not make a bracha on the Tuffel. However, the exception to that rule is, if your Tuffel is something that is chavav on you, and you will often eat it on its own, right, and then you're not going to have with every bite the Iker, then you do have to make a bracha on the Tuffel, right? Rule number 4 is that a Tuffel to the Tuffel, we'll try to see a case soon, a Tuffel to the Tuffel is also pated. So in other words, I have an Iker. The Iker, we said, you make the bracha on the Iker. It pates the bracha on the Tuffel. If you have a Tuffel to the Tuffel, okay, that is also pater from a bracha because of the bracha that you make on the Iker. So even though the Tuffel of the Tuffel has nothing to do with the Iker, it's still not something that requires a bracha. It gets pated from the bracha of the Iker, okay? Now, rule number 5, and we mentioned this, but just to recap everything, the Tuffel really requires a bracha, okay? However, it's not that you don't need to make a bracha on it because it's a Tuffel. What we're saying is that the bracha on the Iker, what we're saying is that the bracha on the Iker patters the Tuffel, okay? So, why is that important? That, again, this rule is very important. The Tuffel needs a bracha. We're saying is that when I make the bracha on the Iker, it patters the Tuffel, which means that if you ever have a scenario where you're not making a bracha on the Iker, or you're not making a bracha on the Iker before you eat the Tuffel, then you do have to make a bracha on the Tuffel. A simple case would be if I'm taking very bitter medicine, we said you don't make a bracha on it. Okay, but let's say I am taking something with it to remove that flavor of the medicine, right? So it's a Tuffel to the medicine, but the medicine doesn't require a bracha. The Tuffel does require a bracha, and therefore you will have to make a bracha. So if you have to take a very bitter medicine, and then you're gonna drink some orange juice afterwards because to get that bitterness out, so in a normal situation, you would say the orange juice is a Tuffel to the medicine. But since the medicine does not require a bracha, the orange juice will require a bracha, right? And because of that, because really essentially you are making a bracha, rule number 6, because essentially you are making a bracha on the Tuffel, it's just the bracha on the Iker is pattering it, all the rules of brachas will apply. So therefore, if I was Mesir Das, if I didn't have Das that I'm going to eat this Tuffel, if I had Shinu Makim, any case that would normally, if I had made a bracha on this tafel, I would did something that would require me to make a new bracha. I was Mesiach Das, I said, I'm not eating anymore, and then they bought out more, right? I would have to make another bracha, even though it's a tafel. So even in a situation where I maybe don't have to make a bracha on the Iker for whatever reason, I wasn't Mesiach Das from the Iker, I was Mesiach Das from the tafel requires a bracha. And since I was Mesiach Das from it, I would have to make another bracha on it. That's rule number six, right? Now, rule number seven, we get a little complicated. We had a machloikis between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. Whenever you have a case that the tafel is going to require a bracha, we just discussed some of them. Whenever you have a case, Beis Yosef says, whenever you have that case, you make the bracha on the tafel, whatever the appropriate bracha is. So if the tafel that I'm eating is a hadama, okay, and I have a situation that I have to make a bracha on it, I make a hadama according to the Beis Yosef. According to the Ramah, when it's a tafel, but it happens to require a bracha, the bracha is a shahakal. And then we had a question in an argument as to what exact case is the Ramah saying that, but that's the basic shita of the Ramah. But it's very important to remember this. According to the Ramah, if I have to make a bracha on the tafel, and I'll show you why in a second why this is very, very important, okay, is if I have to make a bracha on the tafel becomes a shahakal. Okay, now, the reason that Ramah creates a problem for us anytime that I have a situation that I'm misupik if something is a tafel and if something is and it doesn't require a bracha or it does. So I could think to myself, when it's a suffik, I'll eat the tafel first. Therefore, since I'm eating the tafel first, I'll make a bracha on it. And this way, I'll remove myself from that suffik. However, the problem is that if it's a shahakal anyway, so then it's a good eitzah. Eat the tafel first. You make a shahakal on the tafel, then make a bracha on the ikar, assuming the ikar is not the same bracha. So I make a shahakal on the tafel, and then I'll make a bracha on the ikar, and everything is solved. The problem is if my tafel, the item that I'm a suffik is a tafel, is not a shahakal, let's say it's a hadama. So according to Ramah, I should be making a shahakal on it, not a hadama. According to the Beis Yosef, I should be making a hadama on it. So what bracha should I make on that tafel? So whenever you have a case, they have a suffik tafel that's not a shahakal, it's very hard to come up with this solution because you cannot satisfy both the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. The last rule that he says, that if something is vade a tafel, don't be a fruma. Something's vade a tafel, so therefore I'm going to say, but I don't want to eat it without a bracha, right? So I have a situation where it's vade a tafel. So let's say the first case we're going to have, I have a yogurt, and I have small chopped up fruit in the yogurt, mixed into the yogurt. Vade, the fruit is a tafel to the yogurt. So, but I want to be a fruma. I'm going to take out some of the fruit and make a bracha on it first, and then make a shahakal on the yogurt. It says you're not supposed to do that. You're making a bracha shein etzricha. When you have a suffik in the actual halacha, and you're trying to avoid the suffik, we said that's not considered a bracha shein etzricha. But when I'm just doing that just to be a fruma, and I clearly don't need to make a bracha, that's creating a bracha shein etzricha. We don't make a bracha, okay? Let's just run through a few cases that we went through. So the yogurt we just mentioned, fruit salads. I have a fruit salad that has an eitz and adama in it. Right, so that's bananas. Now, if they're very large pieces, and in each spoonful, I might get hadama, I might get an eitz. I'm not going to have hadama, eitz, and everything. So then, anyway, you got to take out both pieces and make a bracha. Because the whole question, number one, is it really a taruvis? Chayadim says as long as it's minker, the two items, you have to make a separate bracha on each one. But let's say it's very finely chopped. Every kamat, 99% of the spoonfuls I get, I'm going to have both the hadama and the eitz there. According to what we learned, everybody except basically the Chayadim and the Shulchan Aruch Harav would hold that I make a bracha on whichever one is the rive. If I have a suffik which is the rive, so since I have a suffik which is the rive, I can possibly take out from each one and eat it separately since they're really both ikarim, and I can make that bracha separately. Salad with croutons, okay? Your ikar is the salad. The problem is that you have the croutons, which is a mezainis. So according to some, it's considered a mixture. And since it's a mixture, you should just make a mezainis on the whole salad. According to others, and since it's minker and it's recognizable, it's not really a mixture. So in that case also, you should take out a piece of lettuce and make a adami. You should take out a piece of the crouton and make a mezainis on it, okay? In a chalant, right? So cholent, if it's a very heavily barley cholent and very, very much mixed together, and pretty much you taught to really separate one from the other, and every spoonful you're going to take, you're going to have barley, then it's a mezainis. If it's a kind of cholent that you're not sure, it's not such a heavy barley, and therefore you're not sure if there's enough barley in there that, and it's really, you could tell what's what. You have large, maybe it's a more watery cholent, you have large pieces of meat and large pieces of potatoes. So then the Paiskim would say, take a little adam out of it, take a little bit of barley out of it, make separate brachas, on it. And the last thing we mentioned, the tuffel to a tuffel, is you're eating a piece of cake, and you're only you drank let's say wine, you made a guffin, and you drank some coffee to help you digest, so the coffee became a tuffel to it, and with the coffee you're going to take a sugar cube, so you have a tuffel to a tuffel, the ikker would part of it. So that's just a basic summary of what we learned this week in Emes Hashem. We will start with Simon Reish Yud Gimel next week.